This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, your pop culture home.
Yeah, Frank here. He's got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's the...
billiard room.
Come on already. We call it the...
The Place to Be.
Yes, the Place to Be. The Place to Be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Ugh. Time to play the game!
No, you left me satisfied and smiling.
That's what she said!
So why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to Be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be Podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
Japanese band Oral Vampire produced a song called The Repo Man and used footage.
Oral Vampire, huh?
Or Aural. A-U-R-A-L.
What kind of show is this?
Sounds like some Twilight porn in Michael Lynch's collection there.
Oz went on to star in American Pie, of course. Bismarck. No, was it Bismarck? Was that
Bismarck?
Bismarck. No, who's the other guy? I'm getting
Bismarck. Yeah, he dressed as North Dakota.
There's only one place where the big boys play, and that is in my extra queen size bed. Well, it just happens. What can you do?
Let's talk the fix.
I didn't even like shock wall.
Is that the Shockmaster's wall?
Yeah, I like big dicks myself. I'm just curious. PTB Nation. Let me know what
is our opener.
To do worse than Josh Richard.
Count the picture, frozen landscape, chill this room for 24 days. Evergreen, sparkling snow, get this winter over with. Flashback to springtime, saw them again. Would have been good to go for lunch. Couldn't agree, we're both free. We tried, we said we'd keep in touch. Didn't, of course, till summertime. Out to the beach to his buff, could I join him? No. It was me, sunburn in the third degree. Now the calendar's just one page, of course I am excited. Tonight's the night I've set my mind, I've been doing too much about it.
Ho, 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 Place to Be Nation. Welcome back to another great episode of the one and only Place to Be Podcast, and we are in the holiday spirit here. Because it is our third annual Place to Be Nation, Place to Be Podcast Christmas episode. And of course, as always, he is the man, the myth, the angry legend, the one and only Mrs. Scott Criscola.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch.
Good evening, Xanta Rosero.
Ted DiBiase's got the car. I'm going to bring the gifts I stole from all the kids.
Welcome, everyone.
Actually, I have the original Santa Claus in the man cave here with me right now.
There we go. That's right.
And he nods knowingly.
The Flana Xanta Man. It is episode 279 of the Place to Be Podcast. But more importantly, it is episode 3. Of our canon of Christmas episodes. And I thought the first two were exceptional. But I think we're going to have a good one tonight, as we always do. So as we head to the end of 2013, coming up on our 3-year anniversary in a couple months, as well as episode 300. A lot to look forward to in 2014. But first, let us conclude 2013. Another Christmas episode.
Yeah, so we got one more episode of the year left.
Yeah, one more after that. Yep.
Next week. Next week. We're back to the draft, right? March and April?
Yes, yes. We'll be picking manias and backlashes, I think. So, yeah.
Very exciting.
Yes.
All right. So, the first thing on the list today, we have kind of a haphazard episode here, a lot going on, some randomness mixed in, but we wanted to talk about Christmas wrestling memories, Scott.
Okay.
What are your favorite, maybe some of Christmas based shows or memories of watching on Christmas or anything basically Christmas related? What's the first that comes to your mind?
Well, easily, JR, the first one that comes to my mind, and I have the date in my head, and that is December 14th, 1986. And that was the first live wrestling show I ever went to at the Hartford Civic Center. It was very festive in the Civic Center. It was me, my dad, my brother. And it was a Saturday Night's Main Event taping that would be airing after the new year. I think it was January 3rd of 87. Two memorable moments from this show. Obviously, the first one, the one more people remember from this date, And that was the big cage match between Hulk Hogan and Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff for the World Wrestling Federation title. That's the one where they both hit the ground at the same time. Of course, the orange goblin drinkers like myself clamoring to see Hogan retain his title, and then my brother, the one guy in the entire building who was rooting for, who said Danny Davis was his favorite ref and wanted Orndorff to win. He had popcorn and confetti thrown at him. And of course, they restarted the match and Hogan won. That was also the night, JR, that Ricky Steamboat came back from the larynx injury that, of course, got everybody fired up for the feud with the Macho Man leading to WrestleMania 3. Yeah, that was a fun little festive. It was a pre-early Christmas gift for my brother and I, for my dad, for my parents. So that was very nice. It was a nice Christmas memory. Been to a couple of Raws at the New Haven Coliseum during December house shows. Very festive.
You find it's weird that WWF never really did a Christmas-based pay-per-view at all?
No, I'm not surprised. Because at this point, since 2001, when they dumped or when they bought WCW, you would have thought they would have already. Because if anything, I mean, let's be honest, there weren't a lot of overly cool things that WCW did. But one of the cool things they used to do was Halloween Havoc. And I'm surprised that WWE hasn't pilfered that yet.
Well, you know, they don't want to even have a pay-per-view in October. Oh, wait, they have fucking three every year. So,
they have three every year. Yeah, yeah. There's, you know, 5 minutes of build between shows. So I'm not surprised I never did a Christmas one, which is a little weird because it's an easy, particularly back during the Federation years when it was, you know, a myriad of young fans like myself and of course, you as you head into the early 90s. And now, I mean, majority of the fan base is kids. So you would think that they would get a little more Christmassy. Of course, there's a big Christmas Raw this week, so they do that now, but I am a little surprised they didn't do like a December Christmas theme show. I mean, they always have something going on.
Well, I think part of it, I mean, back in the day, you know, I there were house shows there at that time, and it was an interesting thread. I was at the discussion. It might have been a Keith's blog or something, talking about, you know, how at the time it was really not much going on, not much to do, limited channels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sports weren't as abundant. You'd have the NBA games. That'd be about it, really, on Christmas.
Right, exactly.
Less gadgets. So people were just kind of bored, right? So you'd open gifts and have lunch or dinner, and then what are we going to do? Let's go to the local arena, watch wrestling.
Yep.
Or, you know, let's order this show or whatever. Mm-hmm. Outside of going to the movies, you know, or if it's snowing or whatever, go play football in the snow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's a lot less to do. So it seemed like it was easier to have something like that to eat some time up. Because people were looking for activities. Now, you get so many toys and gadgets and gimmicks on Christmas Day, you really just want to play with that shit. You don't want to leave or go out.
Exactly.
You know? You get a PS4, you get a new game or whatever, you want to sit down and play that. You don't want to have to leave. You don't even want to leave to go to your friends or to your family's house half the time, because you want to sit and play with all the crap you got.
Exactly.
And you got more sports on, more movies, you have all these marathons on.
Yep.
There's just a lot more to do where it's a little bit maybe harder to get people out of the house and down to the arena for a show or even for a pay-per-view, which may be a little bit easier, but to do. So WCW did Starrcade, but even Eric Bischoff said towards the end they took the focus off of Starrcade the last few years because of that exact reason, and they made some of their other shows more of a focus. The bigger ones of the year was Super Brawl or Bash at the Beach became their bigger ones.
Right, yeah.
And they took away from that December one.
Bash, yeah.
We had In Your House 5, of course. That, to me, was the first, you know, obviously the first December pay-per-view WWF ever did. And they had a kind of a holiday-looking theme to it, more just in the graphics and whatnot, and of course the Santa Claus thing.
Mm-hmm.
But since then, pay-per-view-wise, not really. We had the one Raw, of course, the most memorable Raw, in 1997 from Lowell, where Steve Austin stunned Santa Claus. And of course they had DX with the mistletoe hanging from their balls and everything else. And
how festive.
Yes, of course. So to me, that's one of the more memorable Christmas shows. And now every year we usually get a Christmas Raw. Where, you know, last year we had Alberto Del Rio ran down Santa in his limo, and so looks like we're going to have some stuff this year as well. As far as house shows go, there was one in 1997 that I remember very, very well. Jim and I went. It was December 6th, so it was a month after Montreal. I remember things felt very bleak and damp and dank in the World Wrestling Federation. Brett was gone. There were rumors that Undertaker was going to leave because he was pissed. It seemed like the promotion was really going to fall apart. Mm-hmm. And here's the card from that night. Okay. Brian Christopher defeated Scott Taylor, future Too Much and Too Cool. Mm-hmm. Jesus Castillo, Miguel Perez, and Jose Estrada defeated Chains, Skull, and 8-Ball. That one gets a giggle from Xanta Flanagan over here. Kane defeated Vader. Ken Shamrock defeated D'Lo Brown. Legion of Doom and Dude Love defeated Farouk, Kama, and Rocky. Flash Funk beat Matt Hardy. Billy Gunn and the Road Dogg defeated the Headbangers. And in the main event, Steve Austin defeated Triple H. Now, Undertaker was supposed to fight Austin at this show, I believe. Mm-hmm. And he was taken off the card, and they put Hunter in his place, or Steve. It was one of the two. He was either supposed to fight Hunter or Austin, and the other one stepped in. I can't remember which way it went. And we took this as a clear sign that he was gone, because that was the rumor at the time. And then he no-showed this, obviously, huge house show in Providence, so we're very concerned. If he's going to miss this show, he must be in trouble. But obviously, it was more to do with the whole selling the Kane stuff. But at the time, we were very paranoid that they were really fucked and that WCW was going to take over. So, and of course, then the next night was In Your House DX in Springfield, and that was on my birthday. And that show was a little bit up and down as well. And it wasn't, I think, until after those couple of shows that they really turned things around. And I think that that Christmas Raw was one of the first memorable shows of the kind of rebirth.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Wasn't that the, that was the phony, the phony European title match.
Yes.
And Cornette did that awesome, we've been flim flam, bamboozled. And he just goes off the whole con man rundown. And yeah. But yeah, at the time, I mean, that was a very bleak December for wrestling, and well, for WWF anyway. WCW was on a cloud nine until they botched Starrcade, and then everybody was back to it was almost everybody was back to even keel.
And then and another show, Scott, that we were part of in Providence that did have a little bit of a Christmas feel was Armageddon 05.
Yes,
if you remember, they had Santa come out, and who got involved? Was it the Boogeyman got involved, or it was Nunzio, right? Came out dressed as Santa.
Yes, Nunzio came out. Yeah,
and then the Boogeyman came out. Ran
Boogeyman
off.
Came out. Yep, and we sat out. We stood out in the snow. We had a nice pregame of looking at your tree while having our usual Christmas meal of pizza and tenders while watching some Rumble matches, and then ran into your cable guy in line. So it's very nice. Speaking of bad customer service.
So I feel like there's not a lot of other Christmas characters out there. Yeah, the Christmas creature. Do you remember him?
Vaguely.
That was in Memphis, I think.
Yeah, vaguely.
Wasn't that Glenn Jacobs?
It
was.
I bet you Graham would have known that. It's pretty close.
Yeah, yeah. He was him. He was a Christmas creature down in the USWA. He was dressed like a giant tree.
Like the Stanford logo. Stanford mascot. Otherwise, I mean, look, Santa was in a lot of Survivor Series. He came out with, was it after 92 when Sean beat Brett? When Brett beat Sean,
Santa came out, and then when Luger...
At the end of 93?
Yeah, Fanatics in 93. Santa came out there.
Santa came out.
So I'm looking at pictures right now of the Christmas creature. And he looks like, he's really just wearing... I'm going to send you the picture right here because he's... Okay. It's like a Christmas-based luchador, basically.
Jeez.
Fucking Memphis.
Then we remember... there's the Raw where... Santa got stunned by Austin...
That's what we're talking about, 97.
Yeah, 97. That's right. I used to think that was a separate episode. And then after that, like, the Attitude Era didn't go too crazy with it. Like,
well, they did. I mean, there's some memorable ones, and we won't stomp on too much because we're going to have a Liquid Different Thanksgiving, and we're going to have a post on PlaceFamination.com later this week that has all great Christmas wrestling memories as well. Of course, you had to remember the party backstage in 01 with Austin with Santa, and he had Tajiri sat on his lap and all that stuff. Was that? And after that, it really just became a festival of bra and panties matches. They'd always have the Santa's Helpers matches with the with all the divas and whatnot dressed in the scantily clad Santa outfits.
I feel like they did more Thanksgiving stuff.
They did, and I think there is a richer history of Thanksgiving in wrestling than Christmas. I mean, World Class had the Christmas Star Wars, right?
Christmas Star Wars. Yeah. Yep, Star Wars at reunion. Well, it was that night in '82 that. You know, the Von Erichs Freebirds feud started. That's the Kerry in the title match with Flair when Terry Gordy slammed the door into Kerry's face. And happened every year.
And I think that points more towards, like we said back in the day, it was a bigger deal to have that on there. So I'm trying to look up all the Christmas Star Wars here. Did you get that picture yet?
I did. I don't know what this is. It looks like a Star Wars villain. Very weird. It's like, for those that may not know, he's in like a green outfit with candy cane stripes and like tinsel on his face, and it's very weird. Kind of looks like a Japanese wrestler, kind of jacked up to crazy levels.
All right, so here's a sad story, right? Weird. So they did Star Wars shows on July 4th, Labor Day, Thanksgiving, Christmas. pretty much every year, the world class, from 83 to 87. Christmas started in 81. So they don't have attendance figures for 81. The main event was Fritz versus Great Kabuki in a Texas death match.
Ooh.
82 drew 18,000 as Flair beat Kerry Von Erich in the No DQ steel cage match, and that's yep. when the Freebirds turned.
Mm-hmm.
83 drew 19,675 to wow. see Jimmy Garvin defeat Chris Adams to win the world class American title, and the Von Erichs defeated the Freebirds in a loser leaves town.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas Star Wars 85 drew 14. I'm sorry, hang on. Drew 7,840.
Ooh.
So we're down almost 12,000.
Yeah.
And it was funny because you always hear. I'm sorry, did I skip 84?
You did skip. I thought maybe 84 didn't have anything.
I'm sorry. 84 was 17,000 there. Okay, Mike Von Erich and Billy Jack defeated Gino Hernandez and Jake Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like the Freebirds were back. It's a weird match. Terry Gordy, Buddy Roberts, and Chick Donovan defeated Skandor Akbar, Missing Link, and Mr. X. Kerry Von Erich pinned Chris Adams at a 5-minute match, but the big draw here was Kerry versus Flair again mm-hmm. via DQ. So 85, we dropped to 7,840 as the Von Erichs, Kerry, Kevin, and Lance defeat the Freebirds.
Ah, the infamous Lance.
Seems to be the gas is out of the tank a little bit here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Kerry, the Lance thing pissed everybody off, so that was a down.
And Kerry and Kevin did double duty that night, also defeated Adams and Hernandez by DQ.
Okay.
86, down to 7,000. Kevin and Mike defeated Brian Diaz and Al Madrill, and mm-hmm. Abdullah defeated Bruiser Brody. Kerry's not even on the card here.
Oof.
In 86. 87, down to 2,623, and that's the last one. Kevin, Chris Adams, and Steve Simpson defeated Terry Gordy, Buddy Roberts, and Iceman Parsons. And then Al Perez defeated Kerry Von Erich in a steel cage match, and we have the Fritz Von Erich heart attack angle.
Terrible.
So that's Christmas 87. That's their final Christmas night show, drawing only mm-hmm. 2,600 people. So that's where he was getting pretty desperate.
Yeah.
Fritz. So a lot of interesting memories there wrestling. And like I said, we'll save a lot of them as well for the post this week. But Scott, what I really want to talk about now is mm-hmm. memories from your youth on Christmas morning.
Ooh, Merry Christmas. Christmas comes this time each year.
So, of course, every Christmas for the last, 75 years, you've woken up and opened up gifts from your parents and from Santa and from the rest of your family and friends. Any ones that stick out in particular? I mean, it could be a wrestling-based one or even not. Any mark-out moments or anything you really wanted and you got?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Honestly, JR, I never really got a lot of wrestling for Christmas because I got a lot of the only real wrestling toys I got before I got older were those, the big rubber guys that came out in the, late 80s, 86, 87. And I didn't get a lot of those for Christmas. Those I got during the year.
You
I got a lot
of
those
for my
birthday.
Toys for Christmas, don't you?
Well, it was they had to be very discreet back in the 1920s. So they had them in box boys at Stop and Shop or whatever. No. The toys I got, he threw me off that now. Okay. The wrestling toys I got usually were for my birthday. Because those came out in the middle of the year, and by the time like the figures you collect came out, I was already like 15, 16, so I wasn't getting them. But I would say probably the greatest. I have a picture of it. We were going through pictures with my mom a while back, and I found a picture of me from it had to be either 1981 or 1982, holding the gigantic Millennium Falcon from Star Wars, the big one that you could lift the top off and do stuff inside, play with the guys, and they had and it was probably like the most awesome gift ever. And most of my awesome gifts as a kid were Star Wars, whether it was ships or figures or the playset things, the Jabba the Hutt and the other stuff. That stuff like that. That was probably my best.
You surprised there's not a coffee shop named Jabba the Hutt?
I am surprised. Anyway. I wonder if there's. Well, we'll have to ask. We'll have to ask the Lumpy Silverback because he's going to Disney World this week, so maybe they have one. And because now Star Wars has infiltrated Disney, so. Maybe they have a Jabba the Hutt.
It's very surprising to me. Every other pun restaurant and store out there in the world, but
yeah, I know. I'm surprised. We'll have to see if maybe some kiosk at Disney at the Magic Kingdom, since there's Star Wars there now. Maybe there's a Jabba the Hutt coffee kiosk. We'll have to see. Very interesting.
You should trademark that immediately before someone uses it.
Yes, I know. Yes, Jabba the Hutt. Other than that, tickets. I got tickets to like house shows and Raws and stuff from people. That was pretty cool.
All right, I'd say mine, and we'll see how ballsy I'm feeling someday. And once we get the YouTube channel up and running for PlayStation.com, because there is video footage of this one.
Oh, okay.
It was 1992. Okay. And you know me, figure maniac.
Oh, yeah.
And I knew every figure that was coming out and every one that wasn't coming out. And I woke up, opened all my gifts, and then three more appeared. And it was the set that was Jim the Anvil Neidhart, the Mountie, and fuck, who was the last one? There were two more later that night, but there was, and I lose my mind. I mean, when I tell you I lost my mind, I was like screaming, like I was just fucking out of control. And it's mainly because I didn't know these figures existed. So I couldn't have even, you know, assumed they were ever coming out. So it was Jim the Anvil. Here we go. Sid, the Mountie. And then later that night, I got the Warlord and I want to say Virgil. The full series was Hogan, Savage, Anvil, Sid, Skinner, Mountie, Model, Virgil, Warlord, and IRS.
Anvil? Really?
Yes, Anvil had the cab pants.
Oh, wow.
And I can't remember the exact... Anyway, I got like four of them that morning and then the other two at night from Matt, my cousin Matt's dad, as a surprise. Because he had found them... There was like the Hasbro warehouses up in this area in New England. And he was able to go up there and get them, and they weren't even out yet in store. It was some crazy shit. And I didn't even know about them. And I just went, well, fucking like bonkers. Like, I just lost it. I'm just like dancing around the living room because I didn't know that these figures even existed.
Nice.
So it was just like amazing. That's one of my fondest Christmas memories and one of my most embarrassing because I just made a fucking scene.
Nice.
About it. And of course, the year I got the Hulk Hogan Wrestling Buddy, I think that was 90 as well. So that was a big one for me. And then I remember 91 was a Christmas where Joe Malacone had fucked up Rhode Island's credit system and had like taken everyone's money out of the credit union and everything. So we had a little bit of a tough Christmas. I remember my big present was like a fucking tape bin or something and a Nerf football and Home Alone, I think I got that year.
Nice.
So 92 made it even much sweeter when I got those figures coming off a kind of a rough 91. When I was older, I remember getting the WrestleMania box set from my mom, the one that goes 1 through 15.
Oh, okay.
So I think I was in college. So that was like, yeah, like two, maybe Christmas 99. I got that one, I want to guess.
Yeah, because I got it. I bought it earlier that year and I didn't have 15 on it. So yeah, it had to have been 99. It was definitely Christmas 99.
Yeah, so those are some of my few really vivid ones anyway. But the wrestling figure one always stands on my mind because of just how fucking crazy it was and how stupid it was that I was so excited over a Sid
figure. Because of all those figures, you really wanted the Anvil.
I was really pumped about the Anvil.
Why did they make an Owen one? They were a tag team.
Well, they made Owen later.
Did they?
In 93, they made Owen. He was in the Series 7 with the yellow back cards.
Oh, okay. Was that when he was wearing the Heart Foundation outfit? Had he already turned heel by then or no?
No, he was wearing the blue, like his high energy outfit.
Basically. Oh, high energy. Yeah. Very nice. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, like I said, I didn't get it. Most of the cool wrestling figures, I was already too old by then, but... Yeah, for me, it was mostly Star Wars. I think one year I got a bike.
I think I wrote every single Transformer down that like existed, and I don't think I got any. I could painstakingly wrote them all by name. You know what, Scott? What I want this Christmas, Boneheads.
The place?
I'm eating it right now, so that's what...
Oh, that's of course, yeah. Little Rooster.
Actually, sadly, basically, I've eaten it like three times this weekend. Last night... We went over our friend's house to meet their baby the first time. John and Nikki. It's been like 5 months old and they live down the street. It's pretty embarrassing. We haven't met them yet. And they're like, oh, why don't we get Boneheads takeout? I'm like, all right, because I knew I was getting it today. So then that didn't deter me. So Andy and I went for lunch and we got the nachos and they had a hamburger or cheeseburger egg rolls.
Wow, that sounds good.
On special. So we got those and they were fucking delicious. And then we wanted wings, but we had already eaten an embarrassing amount in public. So we ordered a half tray of wings to go.
Jesus.
And then I had to take a ride. My tenant over at Cornell locked herself out, so I had to go let her in. And then I had to go to my grandmother's because she had made a big pot of, and you'll appreciate this as an Italian, tuna sauce for spaghetti for Christmas Eve.
Oh, and, the tonata, yes.
She made that, and it was on her stove, and she couldn't lift it, obviously. So me and Andy had to go over there and help her out, put that in the fridge.
Nice.
So we came back, and we earned our second round of Boneheads, the third. So this makes five straight weekends for me. Oh, no, I'm sorry, four straight that I've now had Boneheads. Next weekend, we're going to be there for UFC. We're going.
Oh, that's cool.
The big fight there. Ronda Rousey versus Misha Tate should be
Misha
good.
Misha Tate.
And Robin. Then, of course, the weekend after, Scott, you'll be here.
Yes.
And Roger's all excited because he says after we get back from Boston, we should go down to Boneheads.
I think that's an incredibly awesome idea.
So looks like it's going to be six straight weekends to close out 2013 and open 2014.
Oh, my God.
That I'll be eating Boneheads food and twice in one weekend. So really,
Have you had the buffalo chicken chowder yet?
No, I saw that on the Facebook post. The nachos are... It is so good, and for $8, you can't go wrong. So I always end up getting the nachos.
I may have to try it in 2 weeks.
We'll see. Who knows what other treats and delicacies they'll have out there by that time. Of course, they have the eggnog wings. Oh, I have not had those. They have a bunch of different unique kind of
I don't know about
theme.
That. Eggnog wings.
I don't know. I can't question them. Every time, they're always good, whatever they make.
Well, according to the Facebook page, JR, next Saturday, 2 o'clock, the pre-New Year's Creeping Death Challenge.
Yes. I will not be there for that.
No.
I need to get my message over to the owner now to reserve my UFC table. We're going to big night. We're going to go see Anchorman 2.
Yes, I got to go see that myself. Can't wait.
And then we're going to drive over to Boneheads and watch big UFC. And I don't know, maybe a little farewell to Josh Richard, although he's coming over my house New Year's Eve, so I'll see him then before he departs for Staten Island.
For Staten Island, yes. Yes.
Very sad. Yeah.
Six straight weeks. God, you're a mess.
I know. I did two rounds of DDP yoga this morning because I knew how fucking embarrassing it was, the amount of food I was going to eat later. So worked up a good
Merry Christmas, Boneheads.
Yes, Merry Christmas indeed.
Melikilikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day.
Scott, Christmas episode, always one of my favorites, of course. Always a lot of holiday cheer and frivolity. Frivolity going on? Frivolity?
Yes, frivolity. Fun and frivolity.
Plenty of it. And you just, you know, there's always... It's weird, because Christmas is a happy time, it's a merry time, but there's always a little... I'm a little thrown off, I'm not going to lie. Because
intrigue.
Right now, there's something going on outside my window. There's chains clanging.
Is the guy... I thought the guy was mowing his lawn or something.
Now, he may be mowing the lawn, but... What are you doing here?
No, we're not. That is fine. Of course you had to play that. The ghost of podcast past.
Oh my god. Jesus Christ, you're even scarier than the last time we saw you.
My god, he hasn't shaved in months.
Oh lord, ghost is right. Oh, wow. Matt Rotella, welcome back, I guess. I mean, you're only supposed to be here in the, you know, once a year for the anniversary. Well, twice a year, I guess, the anniversary and the March Madness prediction show. That's it. You're not allowed back any other time.
Oh, come on, whenever I want to.
You're here to haunt us, haunt our dreams and hopes and fears and cause fears.
Yeah, but there's no death threats during Christmas time, so I think it's relatively safe. Now,
almost as creepy as Derek LaRue liking Little People Big World on Facebook. That's
almost as creepy. Yeah, that's it. Yes.
That's what just happened. So Matt, last time you were with us was episode 200, or was March Madness after that? I guess Shockwall is the last time you were on, right?
I believe so, yeah. I can't remember another time before that.
Thankfully, you know, we try and spare our audiences. So a lot's going on in your life. You are still working, which is an accomplishment. You're part of the special needs program. You are still doing well there. You are an uncle now.
Yes, I am.
Right, you're a creepy uncle. And you're also going to be, scary enough, a father very soon. Is that right?
Very shortly, yeah. About 3 more months.
So a lot has had to go on right in this process. A, you've proven that you actually can produce sperm, despite being quite androgynous. B, you found a woman that could be attracted to you, so now we know the marriage was not a sham, like any kind of green card kind of thing.
Or that he's the one that's pregnant.
Yes. He's proven that as well. So a lot of mysteries of the world have been dispelled during this pregnancy. So why don't you share some info? You excited? You scared? What's going on?
I'm very anxious. Cannot wait for it. But I also don't want it to come too quickly. I want to at least have some...
Well, it's funny because that's what she said, and then you still did, and now she's pregnant.
Who's the ghost here?
I've been on fire all day, baby. I was lighting up my meeting today at work. So, Yeah. So now are you going to find out the sex?
Nope.
I'm going to keep it a mystery.
Be surprised.
All right. Well, Sarah McLachlan. Right?
Mystery.
Life is a mystery. Is that her? She sang that?
Yes. Mirrorball.
Was that them? Or was that the album?
If for information, yes, I have seen the baby, and no, there are no deformities.
So. No, I wouldn't say that. I'm not. Look, I'm not here to speak ill of your child. Just you.
Jeez,
you sick, tortured man. So, how's the baby setup coming? Is the house being prepared? Are you baby proofing? I mean, I'm sure there's already baby proofing a place for you to make it around there without killing yourself. So now, is there everything prepared for the child as well?
Not quite yet. We gotta start getting everything ready. Like Martin Luther King weekend start.
Oh, it's quite the weekend to just pick a randomly out of a hat.
How honorable.
Yes. Are you right. Going to have the have a dream speech just playing in the room at all times?
Stand on the top of the stairs. Don't rip your staircase apart like we did last time with the furniture.
We might have to take it down.
Oh, God. That was brutal.
So, it's fucked up. I can't believe you're going to be a dad. It's pretty crazy. Now, I had something else I wanted to ask you, and I drew a blank. Scott, do you have any questions on this topic while we're here?
Well,
I remembered. I remembered. Oh. Unless you have something really good, I'll let you go.
I didn't. No, go ahead.
Can we have a contest here on the Place to Be podcast to name the baby?
To name the baby?
Yeah. Can we have some kind of maybe name contest where everyone submits a name? Or maybe that's the prize of a contest?
I can't
guarantee. That's a negative consent. I like it. We're good.
whatever the name you guys come up with, I cannot say it's actually going to be the actual name.
Well, can that be what we call the baby here on the show then?
Like it's a separate person.
Well, it's like the league where, you know, they had baby Christopher, but they call him Chulupa Batman because that was part of the bet. So that's what I'd like to do.
Gotten there yet.
So PTB Nation. You can send your suggestions to us, Justin R. at placetobination.com email for the Rotella baby naming contest.
Anyway. I also just want to make one quick note
yes.
to all your listeners. If you are friends with me on Facebook, do not post anything about the baby on my wall. Me and my wife would like to keep it off of Facebook. If you want to private message me, that's fine, but do not put anything on my wall.
And, you know, we joke a lot with Matt. We all like to make fun of him because he's crazy. But this one is serious, so please do not do it. It's not any kind of reverse psychology to get you to do it. We're going to honor Matt's wish, so please do not say anything on publicly on Facebook. If you want to throw it in a message to him like he said, that's fine. And nothing on the public sense. And if we do, if you do, then we'll have to come up with some kind of repercussion. Scott, we'll come up with something. But
yes, we will.
Yeah. We will honor that one wish, Matt. That is your gift from us at Place to Be Nation for the upcoming baby to your life.
I appreciate that.
Now I don't have to give you any other gifts. So what else is going on? How you been? How's work?
It's boring.
Have you already, you and Scott, started battling yet for the St. Mary's Day weekend vacation planner?
Well, he's already taken off a week in July, even though technically we can't even ask for it off yet until I think sometime in February or March. Is it right, Scott?
I believe it's late February, but I've already jumped ahead to let the I pretty much let you know because you're the only one that it affects.
Yeah.
So and mine's booked, so there's really no way of getting out of it. So
yeah. Well, for me, I'm just saying as far as
– No, I haven't been able to officially – I can't do anything until – I could do it in January, I think. But we can't do it in like the Ulta Pro or whatever that stupid system is until March. But,
Ulta Pro.
But I believe, JR, that Friday that I have off will likely head into St. Mary. So I believe my Friday is I believe
so
it is
covered there. So then you just got to tell Matt not to take the Monday either.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I've left on Sunday evenings the last couple years, and believe it or not, the traffic on 95 hasn't been too bad. So I've hasn't
so
hasn't,
we've assumed that it's gonna be the 20th, right? The 19th, 20th, that's what we're saying.
Yeah, it's usually the right, isn't St. Mary's usually the what, the third Saturday in Saturday
is. Yeah. I'm not even sure if
this is a weird one because it's a weird setup with the 5th. I'm guessing it's the 19th. Go ahead, Matt. What's your deal?
I don't even know when I'll be going to New Hampshire, so that might not even be an issue.
Yeah, well, we're going to make sure because we already had to deal with this last year. You won the battle. Scott's going to win the war. So you're just going to lay down on this one. we gave it to you there. So now, Matt, your PC Friars, a little scary right now. Defeated Yale by 2.
I don't know how you're up by 15 and you let them come back and pretty much dominate you in the paint.
poor defense.
Yeah, they looked horrible. Kadeem Batts couldn't cover anyone.
Batts, he has regressed to a scary level. He has not looked good at all. Very soft. He doesn't go up with any authority. And when he does that weird line drive shot that gets blocked constantly. He needs to step up with Chris Dunn out. The good news is hopefully the suspensions, and we should just call this out. We're recording this on the, what's today, 19th, some shit like that. So this is after the PCL game, not that anyone cares. So we do not know the full story yet with Brandon Austin, Roddy Bullock. But as of right now, from what I'm hearing, Matt, the suspensions are going to be lifted, and we should know tomorrow on the 20th. So
I'm hoping, because Brandon Austin can play point, and we sorely lack a point guard.
And I'm starting to worry about our size. If Batts is going to play like a big-ass fucking pussy, it's not going to be good. We're going to be relying on Goldsboro, and Cafani actually had a few good minutes tonight.
Goldsboro, I like him.
He actually looked better in 5 minutes than Kadeem did the entire game.
Yeah, the best play Batts made was at the very end when he jumped in the air and pulled that ball that got tipped down. That was about it.
And what's even more pathetic is we're bigger players, yet we can't out-rebound Yale by a huge bounce.
Well, they did in the second half. The first half, Yale just killed them on the boards. And Yale should have been up because they missed like 5 or 6 layups, and they were awful from the free throw line. I mean, the one good thing with PC is they are number one in the nation in free throws. They were 13 to 14 tonight. And John Rook said, and I made a great point, he said, if you're going to shoot that well at the free throw line, if you just keep your defense playing strong and you are in in games, that can win you games, those free throw shots.
Oh, big time. I mean, Yale was 3-for-10 from the free throw line tonight.
Right.
Ooh, that's hideous.
And that cost them the game, really. I mean, that and some layups. I mean, that was a winnable game for Yale. So so we're sitting at 9-2. We got Maine Saturday, who's 1-8, I think. But
yeah.
They score like 80-something points a game. So they're a shooting team. They could put the points in. So we will see. But once that's over with, we have the biggest game, I think, of the preseason for the conference starts. And that is against UMass. Now, the Kentucky game is big, but that was a long shot. The UMass one is really huge for, like, the bubble purposes, right?
Yeah, both teams were on the bubble going into it. Now I think UMass is pretty much, as long as they don't stumble in conference play, they are going to the NCAA tournament, no doubt. Chaz Williams is a terrific player. Probably one of the best players you've never heard of, type of thing.
Right. And they are ranked, and they're playing hard, and that would be a big win for PC. So I think it's key to get Austin back Saturday so he gets at least one game in against Maine. I'd give him a lot of minutes and let him get familiar with the team, and then he's going to have to play a big role, I think, for that UMass game if he is indeed reinstated. So Matt Rotella, I want to thank you for stopping by, even though you snuck your way in, and go back to whatever spiritual, supernatural world you reside in. And we'll talk to you, I guess. What's first, Scott, 300 or March Madness?
I would think at this point 300 would be next.
I don't know.
That's probably
They're
late January.
They're close. No,
I think 300.
It's not late January. Remember, we did the schedule.
Oh, that's right. Pushed it out,
March.
Huh? Yeah. I think three. He might be on back-to-back episodes. Ooh, God, are we that desperate?
It may be within a few.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Okay. So Matt Rotella, good luck with everything. Good luck, congratulations, of course, and we will see you sometime soon, I guess.
Sounds good.
Shuffle off, you fucking mope.
Oh, no surprises. Get a martini, get whatever you want.
I don't know what's worse, dealing with Rotella or the pain I'm feeling right now from burping up this buffalo wing. Holy shit, my mouth, my chest, everything's on fire.
Oh my God. welcome back, buddy.
Oof. Anyway, Scott, Christmas music obviously is something we both enjoy.
Yes.
We're talking off air about how Sirius does a great job with their Christmas stations. They have like 7 of them, plus the Hanukkah channel.
Yes.
7. They have the Soul one, which I'm sure you're into.
Soul one. Oh, hell yeah. And the country one. They have the Christmas Traditions, which is like the older ones. And Holly, which is like the base Christmas channel.
Yes.
And now, going out at the moment, it started on Friday and ends, I think, Thursday. Nothing but Bing Crosby. It's like, wow.
Where? On the – oh, it's just one channel?
Yeah, channel 111 on
And I noticed that like the 50s on 5 were playing a bunch of Christmas music too.
Yeah.
On there as well. And the 90s yesterday did a Christmas countdown, the top songs, top 30 of all time of the decade, Christmas music.
Interesting.
Some weird choices. One was the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, like the one that we all know and love that they play all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That one was like number 29 on their list. Is that kind of weird? Like, don't you think that would be a little bit higher?
Yeah, much higher. Yeah, very weird. I agree with that. Yeah,
I didn't get to. I missed like the top five, but I'm sure
they'll replay it.
Well, no, they will. But I'll say I'm sure Mariah Carey is probably number one, right?
Yeah, which is her? Is that the All I Want for Christmas Is You?
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure that had to be.
Yeah,
I'm trying to see right now if the list is online at all.
Yeah, I think every decade did one. I mean, there's a bunch of legendary rock ones from the 70s. Well, obviously, counting the regular ones, like Bing Crosby's White Christmas, and, you know, Burl Ives had a lot, and the Johnny Mathis one, the big album from the late 50s that my dad loved. And it's kind of the emotional thing at Christmas time. Anytime we play it, you know, from here on out, it'll remind us of my dad, because that was his favorite Christmas album. And, you know, it's funny, and this is not anti-Semitic by any stretch of the imagination, but I always find that...
I don't like that setup, but go ahead.
No, the best Christmas albums are sung by Jewish singers. Barbara Streisand did a great Christmas album.
I don't think it's anti-Semitic. You're giving them credit.
No, I just want to make sure. I just want to make sure people are like, well, why? What, their Hanukkah music sucks? Well, other than Adam Sandler, are there any Hanukkah songs? I don't know. I'll have to ask some of my Jewish friends.
Yeah, Dreidel.
The songs from the South Park episode.
That Dreidel song is a real song.
Yeah, it is a real song. Just the way that Kyle sings, it's the best. Neil Diamond has had a couple of good Christmas albums.
Is he Jewish?
Oh, yeah. Diamond? Absolutely. His nickname's the Jewish Elvis. So,
obviously, that's quite the nickname.
I know. Barbara Streisand, like I mentioned, had some good Christmas songs. But, I mean, and then the 80s. There was a couple in particular from the 80s I remember. Billy Squire did a song, Christmas is the Time to Say I Love You, which I remember he did with all the MTV people, like the first year MTV was around. That's a memorable Christmas, like, rock song. David Bowie and Bing Crosby did a little drummer.
You give me a little Shiva blast with that one?
Yes, Shiva blast. Exactly. Oh, God. What's a DVD and what's a DVD? Yeah, no, that's obviously not a Hanukkah song. Christmas music it's probably the one holiday that's obviously very memorable. I don't think there's really any other holiday that has, this much. I mean,
Halloween's kind of got a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, Thanksgiving, you have Alice's Restaurant by Earl Guthrie, but that's pretty much it.
You mean Tom's Restaurant by, was it? Tom's Diner? No, it was the song.
Tom's Diner. Oh, God. I mean, this is a great time of the year for music, and Sirius does an awesome job. So many channels, and a lot of them are happy, happy-go-lucky songs and happy. Before we move to music, though, JR, did you watch all the shows when you were a kid? Rudolph, Frosty. I hope you will eventually, obviously, have your daughter watching them.
Yeah, we watched them. Charlie Brown was my favorite.
Oh, really? Okay.
I like. We watched Frosty the other night with Juliana a little bit, and it was a little creepy. I thought actually, they had the was it Frosty? Or was the other one? Was the one that has like the big fucking monster and everything?
Oh, that's Rudolph.
I'm sorry. Rudolph is a little creepy.
No, Rudolph has the big abominable snowman, Yukon Cornelius.
Yeah, that's a little frightening for kids.
It is. I mean, yeah. I mean, she might be a little too young for that one, but that's it's kind of like it makes Rudolph a hero. That's the whole point. But I have the whole set of them on DVD. I got them cheap a couple years ago at Walmart. But I mean, yeah, I like Frosty and what was the other one? Then there was the one with the little mouse. Santa Claus coming to town. There's like a little one CBS always used to run a little cartoon mouse. I forgot the name of that one. Then HBO did one called Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. All the otters, and they did a battle of the bands, and they all sang songs and everything. It was kind of cool. I remember a lot of good Christmas stuff back in the day, and obviously all the Muppet Show, the Muppet specials, and things like that. Yeah, a lot of good TV stuff this month. Themed TV shows, meaning like sitcoms and.
Oh, of course, and we're going to be a good segue there, Scott, because as we did for Thanksgiving. PlaceMediation.com, we're going to have some of your favorite TV Christmas memories.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that to look forward to, as well as movies. We're doing a five count.
Yes, our favorite Christmas Vacation Christmas movie. We went on yesterday.
We watched that last night as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, Scott, I wanted to take a different slant on this one, though.
Okay.
I feel like there are some depressing Christmas songs.
Really?
I do. There's Blue Christmas.
Yes, Blue Christmas, Elvis.
By Elvis, American Elvis.
The American Elvis, the Memphis Elvis.
And of course, actually, I heard a recent one by Kelly Clarkson that was pretty good. Blue Christmas. She does a nice job. I find a Santa Baby to be depressing, as we've talked about in the past, of course.
Yes.
Just really sounds like the gimme gimme bailout community just wants more and more from this poor guy Santa working hard.
Yeah.
I saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, I find to be a little bit depressing in the rape sense. That goes along with, of course, Baby is Cold Outside, the rapiest, depressingest song of all time.
Yes, only Elgiante would like. What else?
I think Silent Night's a little depressing.
Well, all is calm, all is brow, around a virgin mother, mother and child. It's,
it's
religious.
More, it's to more him. That it's very...
Well, it's a hymn, so it's a little different.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's depressing.
I guess it's a hymn, you're right.
I guess it's more of a hymn. I wouldn't say it's depressing per se. It's very spiritual. I like a lot of spiritual songs. I mean, the hymns usually sound downtrodden. Little Drummer Boy, We Three Kings, Orient Are, you know, that kind of stuff.
Or how about the Band-Aid one? Did they know it's Christmas?
Oh, yeah, that's depressing.
And that was kind of a slap in the face. Because they're like, just be glad it's them instead of you. It's like, so that was supposed to be fucking so. Like, I get the point of that line. Like, you know, oh, okay, yeah, you're right. You know, we should be thankful for. But they couldn't just say, hey, be thankful it's Christmas, you know, instead of just be glad it's those motherfuckers in Africa, not you. We get all the gifts over here in England. Just be glad it's them and not us, bloke.
That is funny.
That was more Australian.
Yeah,
you know, it's a little, it's like, what the fuck, you know? We're supposed to be celebrating these kids in Africa that are hurting because it's not us. All right. Derek LaRue in the Morning Zoo celebrating Christmas. It's them, not us.
Taking your turkey.
Those filthy sons of bitches. But Scott, there's one song that I feel is the most depressingest song of all time for Christmas.
Okay.
God damn it.
So depressing?
All right, so here's my beef with Frosty, right? And I guess it's the whole story and the whole gimmick. I mean, the guy's basically announcing to these kids that he's dying, right? So it's almost like he has cancer or something. You know, it's like we know Frosty's telling us that he's leaving us, that he's gonna die, and our last moment should be spent dancing through the town, not crying, running through traffic cops, causing ruckus in traffic. Telling us we're going to have fun, but hey, kids, I'm going to die. I may be back someday, so don't cry. I may be back. So now he's kind of put himself like he's Jesus, right? So he's saying, listen, apostles, I may die soon, but don't you worry. I'll be back again someday. Thumpity thump thump thumpity thump thump. Look at me go into my grave. Thumpity thump. I mean, it's fucking like depressing, right? I mean, he's supposed to be the friend to these children, leading them through the town, all this frivolity. But don't get too excited, because I'm going to melt and die really soon. And you're going to be sitting here crying as I go thumpity-thumped up off into the night. No?
I don't think that's exactly what their intent was, but...
Well, the guy's like, hey, look how hot the sun is. We better go run, because I'm going to melt and die. Like, I'd be like, what the fuck? We're friends, and now you're just telling me you're going to die, and now we're supposed to have a happy day? I find it to be very depressing.
I don't know. I think the point is, you know, he can't be around all year unless he goes to Antarctica or something. I mean, he's not going to be around for my birthday in June. Santa, come over to my birthday on June 1st. I'll be staring at a cup of water with a carrot sticking out of it. Oh, there he is. That's just the way he is. He was made of snow, and, you know, he
gets the only thing that makes that song happy on any level is the Jackson 5 doing it.
Yes, I like their version. Yeah, I like their version. Now, don't forget, Santa's essence lives in the hat. Do you remember the show? Santa's essence.
You mean
Santa.
Frosty's.
Frosty's essence. I'm sorry. Frosty's essence.
Yeah, but these are like 7-year-old kids. They don't fucking understand that. Hey, kids, my essence is in the hat. Let's go fucking smoke some more weed. What the fuck is that?
Weed?
Can you feel my essence? It's in this hat.
Oh, my God. You know, you sound like the guys from the League interpreting Frosty.
No, but it's fucking like potted out fucking cracked out Frosty.
I will say this, though.
Hey, kids, don't worry. I may be dead, but my essence lives on in this hat.
Then there's the Christmas song by Cheech and Chong. That's
that makes more sense than this shit.
Santa's old lady making brownies. I gotta say this though. You know, I will concur with you partially on this point. I do feel like that a lot of the Christmas shows from the 70s, even though they were meant for kids, they had a much deeper meaning, to the point where you didn't really get it when you were a kid, and now that you're in your, you know, whatever,
30. I think part of it is that people just didn't give a shit about kids at the time. Like kids' feelings or fears weren't a concern. Like, you look at shit like The Wizard of Oz and all these other kids' movies, like, they're all pretty fucked up on some level. Like, I feel like it's not a concern now. Like, back in the day, we didn't give a shit that Rudolph had a big scary monster. His kids were supposed to just be tough and not give a fuck.
Well, I always say that about any Charlie Brown cartoon. For instance, do you ever see the one where Charlie Brown's in the spelling bee?
Oh, Charlie Brown's like the most mean-spirited cartoon of all time.
Well, mean-spirited, but just in other ways. Not
I mean,
even
Lucy's
just
a cunt. I mean, she's just like...
Lucy's a bitch. Lucy's right. A bitch. But no, I mean, even not even just mean-spirited in that sense. There's the Charlie Brown episode where he goes, I guess, into the New... I guess it's supposed to be New York City for the National Spelling Bee or whatever. It's on TV and everything. And he's staying in a hotel room, like, alone. What is he, like, 9? It's like my goddaughter's age, and she's staying at like the Marriott Marquis by himself. It's like, do you have any parents? What are you doing? It's just really weird. Like, you know, like Snoopy and Linus walking around by themselves looking for him in the middle of Manhattan. Those are the things that always puzzled me. Not so much the mean-spirited stuff, although I do agree with you on that. There are some cases. I just felt it was weird, like, kids are just treated like regular people, not kids.
Well, that's because it's supposed to be like their world, kind of.
Kitty hotels.
they're
really weird. I don't know. Very strange. Very strange. But, I mean, there are some Christmas songs when you really, really think about it. You know, the lyrics can be interpreted as such. I don't think hymns should count, because anything in any story that, you know, any Christmas song that involves Jesus, kind of is depressing anyway. Because remember, they weren't at the inn; they had to sleep in a manger. It was cold. You know, he's in hay and everything. And it seems a little downtrodden, but then of course the star in the sky and the kings and everything. I don't want to get too religious, but I think hymns have a different feel to them. But yeah, I think I don't know if Frosty's on dope, but
where's my fucking essence?
Well, that's the cartoon. You take his hat off and he's just a snowman. You put it on and he says happy birthday,
and then he dies,
and then he melts, but he's made of snow. I mean, what are you gonna do?
It's fucking sad.
A little weird.
I mean, it's like, we know dogs are going to die young, but that doesn't make it any less sad when they do, right?
Oh, my God. Boy, we really took this down an interesting turn. This one, it's like, look at A Christmas Carol. I watched one the other day on TNT. I think it was the Patrick Stewart one. That's, like, mean. I mean, and that's kind of a kid's one, right? I wouldn't say that. Well, it's not a kid's one. It's a family show. And Scrooge is an asshole. I mean, really, depending on... you know, when you saw it, I mean, there was Scrooged with Bill Murray, but then there was all the Christmas carols over the years. And, you know, Ebenezer Scrooge, if you look, read the story, he's kind of a piece of shit, really.
Well,
and
it's yeah, only, I mean, when that's just, the whole point.
But only when he gets fucking scared out of his wits. Oh, I'm going to be a nice guy now. You know, it's whatever. I don't know. That one always, even though I like Dickens and I like the whole British English Christmas kind of thing, I always found that story to be a little fishy myself. Oh, now he's, you know, now he's happy because, oh my God, I'm gonna be in a casket and die.
Well, let me ask you. I mean, did your mind change getting visited from the ghost of podcast past?
Well, I get scared by him every day of my life, so it's very different.
All right, Scott, why don't we put this one to bed? Why don't we take a break? We're gonna come back. We have Naughty or Nice to do still.
Mm-hmm.
We have a little treat for you guys, a little Christmas song that we put together here for Place to Be Nation, and then we're gonna wrap things up. So let's take a little holiday break, and we'll be back with a jingle jangle.
There must be some magic here in that old silk hat they found.
For when they place me on his head,
he begin to dance around.
Yeah.
Frosty the Snowman.
Emotional consideration paid for by the following.
What I'd like to have right now.
Chad, do you ever feel that the world revolves around WWF?
I think you mean WWE there, Barf.
Yeah, whatever, but what about David Crockett?
She likes it! Well, what about Jimmy Valiant?
I'm gonna get you all until I get you, Paul Jones.
Oh. The Four Horsemen.
We are a family, and we are the best.
The Omni, the Dangerous Alliance.
Please welcome the newest members of the Dangerous Alliance, Arn Anderson and Larry Zbysko.
Jim Cornette and the Midnight Express.
The Fantastics are putting the U.S. Tag Team title on the line against the Midnight Express.
Main events with actual work rate in them.
Woo! 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 All right!
It's just not fair to Flair.
It's not fair for Flair.
If this is what you're looking for, please check out Where the Big Boys Play podcast, the only pure NWA and WCW supercard podcast out there.
While you were in Hollywood making movies, Thunder Lips, I was winning world titles.
Well, there they are, our good friends Chad and Parr, Where the Big Boys Play. Now, if you want nonstop old school NWA discussion, getting back to that very first Starrcade, these guys have it covered. Even the PICs have made an appearance once. We are very particular what podcasts we visit. So check out our friends Chad Parr, Where the Big Boys Play. Their link is right on our site, placetobenation.com. Just go into the podcast menu. And there they are with the other great shows we partner with. Chad and Parr, working Where the Big Boys Play. Speaking of Place to Be Nation, that's your everyday home for your pop culture needs. At placetobenation.com, we have everything. Wrestling, sports, comics, even polls. We want your opinions as well. Every day there's something different with our top staff of writers who are experts in all fields of pop culture. From the weekly Raw review to the return of the hack, you've got everything you need. We're also working with a myriad of great podcasts, of course, besides Chad Parr. We have Grapple Talk, the fans podcast, Off the Top Rope, Answering the 10 Count, We Found New Music, and The Kings of Sport with Nate Milton. We've got everything for your listening pleasure. So check us out every day of the week at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Now, don't forget about our good friend Graham Cawthon and the history of WWE.com. He's still the top source for all argument solvers, from match results to house show cards to pay-per-view histories. Any questions you need answered, any debates among wrestling fans that need ending, head over to Graham's treasure trove of information. You will certainly find it. Need to know what the opener of Starrcade 1995 was? What was the main event of that 1988 Boston Garden house show you went to when you were 11 years old? Graham can tell you. He has WWE, WCW, ECW results, and the growing results in TNA and Ring of Honor. So for all your wrestling research needs, check out Graham Cawthon at thehistoryofwwe.com. Now finally, if you want a place to just hang out, discuss all things wrestling with fellow diehard fans, check out the news and the great forums at twfnews.com. They have all the up-to-the-minute stories in WWE, TNA, and pretty much everywhere in between. They talk old school, Attitude Era, and even those hard-to-remember guys and shows like Waylon Mercy or In Your House Number 3. So check out all there is to see right on twfnews.com.
This is Gary Michael Capetta, and this is the Place to Be podcast with Scott Riscola and Justin Rosero.
We are back here from break. Hope you're enjoying our third annual P2B Nation podcast Christmas Spectacular. Have a lot in the books, and we got a lot more to come. First, just want to take a really quick hit, placetobenation.com. A lot of cool stuff over the last week, and you need to stay tuned this week for all Christmas stuff. We're going to have, like I said, our five count for top Christmas movies, TV Christmas episode memories. We're going to have wrestling Christmas memories, and then we're also going to have our year-end stuff. We got wrestling, we got music. And we have comics for year-end coming up as well over the next week and a half. What's up there right now? A new episode of Wrestling with the Past with Charles and Will. Of course, you know Will from our shows here. Wrestling with the Past, Shawn Michaels. They look at the career of the Heartbreak Kid. Remember, they did this for Bret Hart a while back, so this is a must listen for you wrestling nerds. Will and Charles do an awesome job, very comprehensive, and it's a great look at a more divisive wrestler than you would think. Total Divas, watching Total Divas, week 6. In the books is this season, basically the part 2 of season 1. Ben and Jen wrap things up with their review. We have our other reviews, Matt's Petticord's SmackDown, My Ring of Honor, and of course Dan McGinn with Superstars, Ryan Everett with Main Event, and Your Raw. BCS Busters Volume 2, we talked about this last week, Scott, where the college football staff went through and kind of looked at what would happen if the tournament format had been in place, and this one looks at 01 to 03, mm-hmm. how things could have been different. Lita Clark looks at Archie Sonic comics writer to explain scrapped plot lines for summer 2014. Lita always does a great job with her pieces. Callum Leslie has a new episode of Answering the 10 Count, Christmas in Dixieland. Ben Morse with a new 5 Count, Top Starcade Main Events. Another must check out for WCW and wrestling fans, as Ben goes through and with some of the other PTB Nation staff, and they give their top 5 Starcade Main Events. New piece, Scott, The High Spot. Each and every week, Steve Willey is going to pick one news story from the world of wrestling and give his opinion on it, and then I'm going to come in with 3 or 4 other news bits underneath and talk about kind of the happenings and goings-on. This is a little bit of real-time new wrestling material that we don't really have at this point until now. Steve does a great job looking at the AJ Lee and Michelle Beadle and CM Punk issue that went down, a tribute to the troops, so mm-hmm. be sure to check that out. Andrew Reich had this week's NBA Weekly Roundup. New episode of Richard the Mailman, episode 16, is him and Andy Flanagan out of the car, back in the apartment, doing strange setups, Pope Marx Engels, Christ and Christmas, and a little bit about to do with the other topics as well. Rich and the Mailman talk about Picasso's Pub, of course, where we go for pay-per-views and a lot of other things. So be sure to check out that episode with him and Mr. Flanagan. A new episode of Grapple Talk with Brad Pickett, Tisha Torres, Adam Martin, and Sean Smith, hosted by Callum Leslie. Scott, our Vintage Vaults are back. Great American Bash 2008 is up for your reading enjoyment. The Smart Grant for NXT, that's Scott Keith, of course, reviews that for the site as well. So there's the last kind of 5 or 6 days, placementnation.com, and plenty more to come. And we're only getting stronger in 2014, and that is thanks to you guys. Thank you so much for clicking through. And as we'll hear later from one of our managing editors, of course, be sure to always click that Amazon link anytime you're going through Amazon to make a purchase. Give us a little bit of ducats and help us out. Keep mm-hmm. us going. We do have a major announcement coming for PlayStationNation.com in the new year as well, a new major contributor. So we'll talk about that as well.
Yes.
So, Scott, what do we got next? Looks like we had a little bit of Naughty or Nice coming, and mm-hmm. we'll start wrapping things up, I guess, right?
Yeah, nice.
Mr. Scott Prespolo, how are you tonight?
Merry Christmas, El Gigante. I left the door open for you because I had a feeling you would be joining us.
Oh, wherever George Michaels is, so will I be.
Well, it is great to see you. I hope you're having a festive season. How have you been?
I'm great. How's my favorite shithouse rag doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. I'm doing very well. And it is Christmas, and again, the Christmas episode would not be complete without you joining us.
Is it Christmas already? I can't believe it.
It is. 2013 is almost already done.
What does Klaus bring in for you this year?
Hopefully he's going to bring me good health.
That'll be the first time.
Yeah, and maybe I can look a little younger.
That'll be never.
I'm hoping to siphon some of your Vestal Virgins.
I have plenty to go around. The Vestal Virgins clamor to me like flies on the shit. And they love me and the Guiante, and anytime I bring my friends around, I can get them a little something-something as well.
Okay. Well, there we go. So, every year, El Guiante, you get very festive. And,
I do.
You like, yeah, of course you do.
This is my 7th year on this Christmas podcast. Very exciting.
Yeah, it is, actually. And usually have a wonderful song. You know what? I just saw something on Amazon. Somebody clicked on Amazon, and they're buying 10 copies of your Christmas album from 2011.
That's beautiful. I'm going to pass platinum and move on to beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. So any gifts, surprises for us that you brought for Place to Be Nation tonight, El Gigante?
Well, I want to keep my songs fresh and the newest tracks hidden from my biggest fans to order the CDs. But I did put together a little poem for you, Mr. Criscolo.
Oh, I'm very excited about this.
Have you ever heard of the 12? The night before Christmas?
I did. I have heard of it, yes.
Well, I've written a Giante special, and I'm here to read it for you.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Oh, I'm Place to Be Nation. Here we are. El Giante and his Night Before Christmas.
Turn up the fireplace. Settle in. Mm-hmm. Grab a candy cane. Ah! Twat's the night before Christmas, and all through the trailer park. Not a creature was stirring, not even the Triple H mark. The magnum condoms were hung by the chimney with care, in the hopes that the horse cock soon would be bared. Missy Hyattel nestled, all nude in her bed, while visions of Giante's plums danced at her head. And Rotella in his G-string, and I nice and snug, we had just finished wrapping Armento's new rug. When down in the basement there slammed down a ladder, I sprang from my extra queen-size bed to see what's the matter. And away down the stairs there was Joltor and Flash. WCF had returned with a main event match. Missy's pooing at her breast, resting on my WCW pillow, gave away to the lust of a midnight fuck and a blow. When to my wandering eyes ever should appear, but that asshole Rob Houston and Chad Campbell the queer. I sent her back to the Y and got naked real quick. I knew in a moment Missy would be grabbing my dick. More rapid than Adrian Peterson's, it was then that I came, and PTB Nation cheered and shouted as I called them by name. Now Woodling, now Greenhouse, now Hinchy and Vincent, and Amanda and Parv and Sugar Tits and Richer. To the tip of my penis she went. Missy slammed on my balls. Now get down on your knees and prepare for it all. What a final dry heave. I blew my load in her eye. While she quickly showered, I looked to the sky. Up to the housetop PTB Nation they flew, with a sleigh full of sex toys and Scotty Claus too. And then as I tinkled, I smelt from the roof the old musty stank of Scotty Claus cooch. As I held back my puke and was turning around, down came the chimney with Scotty Claus and Triple H gagged and bound. As I was dressed in my fur from my head to my foot, Scotty Claus' gimmick was exposed and covered in soot. A piece of the game was splattered on his back, and he looked like a hooker just grabbing his sack. Scotty's face old and wrinkled, his tits oh so perky, his ass cheeks like an apple, his neck like a turkey, his ever-moving mouth drawn open like a hoe, and the beard on his chin now painted white as snow. The game kicked a gag, held tight in his teeth, and Scotty Claus collapsed, now worn out and weak. He had a smile on his face and a little round belly that shook when he finished like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a jolly old mark, and I laughed when I see him because I am a smark. What a wink of the eye, he climbed to his feet and forced Hunter to the kitchen to make him something to eat. He spoke not a word but went straight to his work and filled all my condoms and finished his jerk. Then when he would linger, he backed it up like Jason Rhodes, gave us the finger and up the chimney he rose. He stumbled to his sleigh and the game protected his spot, and all the way they flew like Ludwig Borga High Spot. But I heard him exclaim as he drove out of sight, a pedigree to all, and to all a good night. Goodbye, Chris Caldwell. Merry Christmas. I'm out of here. Well, it isn't Christmas till Giante delivers, Scott. I think we can say that.
Wow. Yeah, I'm
a little risque, a little. This might be his most vulgar entry yet, I think.
Yeah, I hope. I wonder if Mr. Pager's going to come back. Maybe he's going to countersue his own client for that
I'll
one.
I'll tell you, we don't get Giante a lot throughout the year, but when he comes in for Christmas, he comes in flying.
Throws in a home run. Wow. Holy cow. Wow. Okay. And we thought Frosty was weird.
Wow. Things only get weirder. So, Scott, it is time for our annual trip to Santa's chair.
Yes.
And that is, of course, for a little naughty or nice.
It's all cold down along the beach. The wind's whipping down the boardwalk. Hey, man! You guys know what time of year it is? What time, huh? What? What? Oh, Christmas time.
Yes. Yes.
So we're going to start with a naughty, and if you could send that list my way, that'd be much obliged.
Okay, we do that as we speak. But
rip
of course
the page out of Santa's book and send it over.
Yes, yeah, page out of Santa's book. It's kind of similar to the way we do the trick-or-treat. For our Halloween episodes. And There you go. Right. Okay.
You know what I'm going to give a nice right off the bat to is Narragansett Coffee Milk Stout.
Oh, I am so looking forward to trying this, JR. I put a picture on Facebook a while back when they first started promoting it, and it just sounds delicious.
It was. I had my first one last night, and I'm definitely going to get it for us for January 4th to try out because it was really, really good.
Oh, so excited.
We'll have some when you arrive. Our customary, you walk in the door all pissed off at the traffic beer.
Yes, exactly. Love it.
All right. Our first naughty. I'll be handling the naughty list as usual. Scott handles the nice to mix things up because you're usually the prick throughout the year.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll mix it up a little bit. My first naughty is the booking of Brock Lesnar. Where's he been? Takes a shitty loss to your boy at WrestleMania, beats him in a match that no one cares about for the third time at Extreme Rules, and then beats Punk in the match of the year at SummerSlam, or a match of the year candidate, and then has been gone since. I mean, have they bungled this thing from the start? Do we need three of his matches to be a Triple H? And put your fandom aside. Do we need three of his limited contracted matches to be a Triple H?
Absolutely not.
A guy that doesn't even have great chemistry with.
I didn't really care about the match at Extreme Rules. I didn't really care. I liked him getting his win back at Mania, and that's fine. It should have ended there. But obviously they needed him to beat Triple H in extra time for something. God only knows what. But I think they bungled the whole contract. I think the limited number of outings thing was just stupid. They should have actually just given him money. And look, when we need you, we're going to ask for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can still do the limited. But don't waste three matches on the same fucking guy. Especially a guy that he does. I mean, if you want to give us three Punk matches like we got at SummerSlam, all right. You know, now we're talking. But even then, that might be overkill. Like, you know, there are rumors that he may face Punk again in a rematch at Mania. And it's like, can they top what they did? I mean, I'd rather see him face someone else. But
right, I agree.
You know, it started with losing to John Cena last year at Extreme Rules. And it's just kind of snowballed from there. So we'll see if they can salvage him heading into this Mania and how they can use him. You know, there's a lot of rumors. Of course, one of the big rumors is that Batista's coming back now. And that
that's huge.
Maybe he'll face Brock at Mania. Or are we going to get, you know, Brock versus Rock? Or is Rock gone? Are we going to get Brock versus Taker? That's the other one being rumored. Is Brock going to be in the world title mix? So there's a lot going on. We'll see how things filter out. But two out of the three matches he wrestled this year, not that great. You know, the Extreme Rules cage match was better than Mania. But still nothing worth using a day on. You know, for him. So, but his SummerSlam match made up for it. But the overall booking of Brock was very, very naughty.
But sticking with wrestling, a very nice that we had, JR, was WrestleMania weekend. Definitely nice. From when we strolled into the city in the early evening of Friday, April 5th, till we were driving deep in the morning of Monday, April 8th, we had an awesome 72 hours of excitement and fun. From Ring of Honor to the full day at the Comic-Con, the WrestleCon at in East Rutherford. And, of course, I have to say, next to the tailgate Sunday, JR, that night at the Garden might be one of my most favorite nights of being a wrestling fan. Mm-hmm. Was that Hall of Fame at the Garden. Just an incredible night, even with the asshole heckling buffoons of fans that just didn't know any better. And then the show itself. But the tailgate was definitely a day to remember. We got to meet a lot of great people that have been listening to our show since the beginning. A lot of fun. It was a lot of fun that day. And that weekend was kind of culminated, JR, from when you and I started. Who would have thought we were talking about the San Francisco Giants at 3 o'clock in the morning way back in 2011 that we would have been standing amongst, 40 guys?
Yeah.
The tailgate. It was awesome.
It was awesome. And some of us will be doing it again on a much, of course, smaller scale, but still yes. We're going to have our second annual, I guess we'll say annual, hopefully, or our second overall PTB Nation meetup at the Royal Rumble. I think we have 19 of us going or so.
Oh, that's good.
So it should be a lot of fun there, too. And, of course, Ring of Honor the night before. But, yes, WrestleMania weekend always will be the tops. That was awesome. We had a great time. Everything just worked out. It's amazing to think the level of planning and the scale that was involved and the amount of people involved, the amount of events involved, the travel, that it all worked out as well as it did.
And money and funds involved as
well.
Yeah,
yep. And everything, everyone had enough to eat, enough to drink. Mm-hmm. And it just all came together beautifully. Like, it's a testament to everyone who worked hard that was involved. And we made that whole thing work beautifully. I mean, one of the most fun moments of the weekend to me was the handful of us that went to shopping at Costco.
Yes.
You know, filling up all the carriages. We had like three full carriages of groceries. Check it out. Yep. And Chad working the math. It was good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was exciting. And then we lucked out. Weather was nice that day. It wasn't too cold. And
As people wanted it to rain because they're assholes, it was...
It did not.
So, all right. On my naughty list, Scott, Vizio. If we travel back to, I think it was like February, maybe. I told this whole story on another podcast. So I won't get into it. But they gave the runaround to my parents who had just bought a brand new TV. And some guy tried to tell me the risk of buying electronics is that it may die within a week. And I lost my mind. Another great customer service call, as always. So Cox was on my list last year. Vizio on my list this year. We'll see who makes it in 2014 on the JR angry customer service rant list. But welcome Vizio to the naughty list.
Yes. On the nice list, I know this bugs you, JR, but we've got to give them their due. Your 2013 world champion Boston Red Sox. Here was a team who a year before was an angry mess of pissed off, drunken chicken eaters, apparently, who just hated their manager, hated everybody. A lot of people think they tanked the season. So what'd they do? They traded every miscreant and malcontent.
The Dodgers bailed them out. Go ahead.
Dodgers bailed them out. And 2013, you had a mix of really good, young, gritty guys, and they came away with a very unconventional and surprising world championship. So I've got to give them their props for that, for John Farrell and that team.
And your boy right here predicted it in the return of the hack.
Yes, yes, you did. I was surprised. You were very diplomatic. I applaud you.
And they're on my naughty list, too, Scott, the Red Sox. But mainly Red Sox fans that I had to deal with around here. It was obnoxious, as always.
Pink hats.
Yes. Oh, God. I mean, we need it again this soon. We could have had another 80 years. Do we need it again? Enough. I mean, it was a fairly likable team, but still.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a shit year, too. I mean, the Tigers fucking rolled over. Cardinals are garbage.
Ugh,
there was no terrible, other good teams in the
terrible Tiger bullpen. And they had a lineup to beat anybody. They had starters to beat anybody. But
well, Cabrera getting hurt just killed them. I mean, if he's healthy, they maybe win that series.
Yeah, but when your big trade deadline move is Jose Veras, really? Ugh,
yeah, no, they badly needed
a lockdown guy.
Yeah, they didn't have.
And they think they do. They think they have him now, right? Then they get who'd they get? They just got somebody in the offseason. Joe Nathan.
Yeah, I think they got
Joe Nathan.
Yeah, I mean, he's not known for blowing postseason saves at all.
Oh, so. No, not at all. Not at all.
That'll be a good pickup. yeah, so fuck the Red Sox. Also, what's up with your spelling of the Red Sox on this list? I'd say that's on the
Because the X on my keyboard is, which I saw by taking care of a purchase last night, but because the X on my laptop is broken, so I just want to type, I just typed out Sox. So.
I see. Okay.
Like the X wouldn't work. I'd be still sitting here trying to push it. All right. Nice, and I don't want anybody getting mad at me, but I'm doing this for my own personal preference. And that is the Pope. Pope Francis has done a lot for a lot of people this past year, and Time actually named him Person of the Year, which absolutely stuns me. And I'm hoping that he, after the suspect many people feel term of Pope Benedict, that Pope Francis will bring, you know, the youth back to the Catholic faith and just make.
Well, he's got a lot of work to do on that end.
Yes, he does. He's exactly. Oh, you're exactly right. And I talked a lot about. Our new bishop here in the Dutch Diocese of Bridgeport, young people. I think that's the thing. I think people seeing younger, the face of the faith being younger, I think. And Pope Francis is 70-something, but he doesn't act that such. Plus, he drives himself.
How about you?
Yeah, well, no, I go there. I'll look. Oh, my God. Who's that? Who's that archaic guy? No, I think he's just a good thing for the faith of, you know, for Catholics. It's just my personal preference. But, you know, JR, your daughter will be getting her first communion in, what, 5 years? So
yes. we'll start planning now.
So hopefully by then, you know, everything will be good. Anyway, I just wanted to give a nice to Pope Francis.
All right. And on the same lines, we have Aaron Hernandez. Very nice.
Exactly. Because you don't think of one without the other.
That's right. Very synonymous with each other. Yeah. Naughty Mr. Aaron Hernandez, of course. This mob-style undercover murderer.
Yes.
Whacking guys in Miami and Attleboro, everything else. And as the story just unfolded over the summer, it was just unbelievable. As more and more details came out of this fucking thug who's now in jail, and his trial should be coming up soon, I think.
Yeah, sometime in the spring, I think.
And then hopefully they get enough to convict him. If not, they're in trouble. But just really fucked up. I mean, God, the stuff this guy was doing. And right under our own nose here in Rhode Island. I mean, Attleboro only a scant 25-minute ride up 195, or up 95, rather. Not that far away. So you never know what's going on, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Nearby.
Also naughty, the Detroit Lions. My Lord. Talk about falling apart.
How about a nice for Peyton Manning? Broke the record today.
51. He ain't got no rings, bro. Brady's better.
I'm already seeing that on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're going to listen to EEI in the morning?
Oh, God.
Well, Brady had all those weapons. He'd have 85 touchdowns. How many touchdowns did Randy Moss score today?
What, do these guys work for Whitey Bulger?
Fucking Wes Welker had to go there. If he didn't, fucking Manning wouldn't have anyone to toss it to. Let's see him throw to Julia Edelman.
He called him Julie. God, that was good. Julie Edelman.
The fucking yes. Gronk got hurt. If Brady had the Gronk, he'd have fucking 75 touchdowns. Fucking Tom.
I take it you listen to them constantly. Oh my God. Oh, that was on fourth
fucking
and goal.
How many rings Peyton Manning's got, choker? Fucking Tom Brady won all these Super Bowls fucking 10 years ago. Hasn't made sense.
All right. Are you saying Boston sports fans are naughty? Is that what you're getting? Is that what you're getting at?
All right, what's next?
Okay. Next, little wrestling here. How about Daniel Bryan
and Daniel Bad? How about that?
Daniel Bad. Oh God. And the Rhodes brothers. Boy, what renaissances they had.
Sit down and wait for the Rhodes family.
Yeah, I mean, the storyline with Cody and getting fired and Goldust not being able to win the match for him and
No, they've been fantastic. I mean, Goldust has been one of the best wrestlers in the world this year.
Yeah.
Just what a phenomenal comeback. A guy that's always had it. He was great as Dustin Rhodes and great in the Goldust role before. This guy, though, he's like Frosty So Man. Just when you fall in love with him, he leaves. But it seems like he's always has these start and stop runs. And when he comes back, he's just fantastic. And then something happens and he leaves again. And you hope he makes it back. And this time he does. And we hope now he stays around. And the more the weeks go on, I really hope we're not going to get the Rhodes Mania match.
No, I don't want them breaking up.
Unless it's his friends. I don't want one of them turning heel and feuding. I just, no. God, they're so good together.
They are good together. I agree.
I'd rather have them and the Shield blow off it at Mania.
That'd be pretty cool. Yeah, I like that idea. I like that idea. And Daniel Bryan, everybody could say he's gotten screwed. I still think his opportunity is yet to come. It will be there. He's just been fantastic this year. Fantastic. I mean, when you quote, hijack a Raw segment when the fans cheer you because the fans aren't allowed to pick what
it's
they
been
want.
Happening all year.
Yeah, you know, because fans aren't allowed to cheer for who they want. They're supposed to cheer for who's in the ring. Yeah, whatever. It's an amazing thing for him, and I think his 2014 will be stellar. So, Daniel Bryan and Rhodes Brothers, definite nices in 2013.
All right, my naughty list, a repeat from last year, and that is drivers.
Oh yeah, I concur.
You know, everyone bitches about gun control and gun laws. How about driver's license laws? Like, that's more of an imminent disaster to me than some guy with a gun somewhere, right? I mean, when a lady stops at a fucking green light in an intersection and then rolls through the yellow, isn't that more dangerous to me than some guy out in fucking Denver with a gun in his house? I mean, this is a danger I face every day. People driving 10, 15 miles under the speed limit, not knowing where they're going, put on the left blinker, turn right. Start to turn, but don't swerve back into the thing, cut you off, and then drive 5 miles an hour. I mean, to me, that is way more imminent of a disaster. And why I think once you get to age 65, it should be mandatory testing each and every year at the DMV to maintain your license.
I agree.
And if you fail, you're done. If you pass, good. It's extra revenue for the DMV.
Yep. And you get another year. State. But you get 1 year and then you test again.
That's it.
You know?
And I mean real ridiculous. Tests, not some fucking fat pig in a car driving you around eating donuts. Oh, yeah, you're looking fine. I mean a legit test.
No big, fat, sloppy pigs giving tests.
Ah, these fucking people. Lord, it's not that difficult. Press the gas and drive. Everyone's fucking daydreaming or on their phone. They're not paying attention.
Awful. So funny.
People who can't multitask should not. If you can't handle it, don't do it. Cars are the biggest fucking threat to people's lives on the road, and you have fucking mongoloids driving them.
Yes.
Subhumans driving cars. They're fucking these reckless vehicles that could murder thousands of people each and every day. And you have these inept pieces of shit driving them down the street. The dumbest of the dumb have licenses.
I think we just found a new open line. Oh, mongoloids of the world.
Unreal.
Oh, man. Well, I deal with it as well, JR. I think it's a New England thing. I think a good portion of the bad drivers in the world live in these five states, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Mass, six states, New Hampshire, Vermont, and Maine. I think they're the worst of the worst.
Awful.
Of which you and I are not. All right. Another nice, JR, is a nice that we just chatted with a short time ago, and that's Kevin Kelly. Kelly's a nice.
No, he is a nice.
Done so much for us this year. He's mm-hmm. come on when he's been able to in his busy schedule to do our mid-year vault analysis of the of the years at the time in WWE, and little Ring of Honor with you, and he's going to be coming on soon for something else. We're going to keep that a surprise.
Oh, yeah. Big things happening with Kevin Kelly.
A rare non-wrestling appearance will be coming soon for Mr. Kelly.
Well, no, even beyond that, big things happening with the future of PlaceTimination.com with Kevin Kelly.
Yes, that as well. Even bigger fun things.
A lot going on with Kevin. Going to increase his role on the team.
Yeah. Yep. So a big nice.
A lot of fun there, yes. Very big nice. And I look forward to seeing him, hopefully, in Pittsburgh.
Yes. Yeah, for you guys. Yeah. Rumble weekend.
All right. A naughty Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And that's you.
Me? What?
Fucking drunken fool at that party.
Oh, you had to bring that up.
Got hammered 10 minutes in, and then we're fucking made LaRue look normal.
Yeah, it was. I've had some interesting moments.
Used my fucking,
old 196.
Used my toilet paper holder as a pillow, and now it's ripped off the wall.
Not one of my more. I tried to be a martyr, and I went to hell. And I went to hell instead.
I saw way too much of you that night than I ever needed to see.
There may be some issues. There may be some legal ramifications there.
Swirling the water in the sink with your finger, whatever was in there.
No, it wasn't water. Believe me. Admittedly, Place to Be Nation, not one of my more prouder moments.
Very naughty.
Cranston / Coventry party lore. That's one I prefer to forget. In fact, I don't remember any of it, so I can't really forget something I never remembered.
Let's be glad you don't have to remember LaRue like fucking blue dust laying on the couch, sprawled out.
That was it. Poor Dan McGinn. I feel bad for that kid. Oh Jesus. I deserve that. And 2014 will be very different. We open up with a great weekend in January. JR, welcome in to watch our beloved Bruins take on Winnipeg. First time since 1993 that I'm going to see the Jets.
Yeah, maybe I can get more. Wait till they play Vancouver again so I can get more Scott Keith nasty messages on my Facebook wall for meaningless season games, Keith. I didn't hear you chirping in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Coming at me during the fucking games that no one gives a shit about in November.
All right. I deserve that. No coal. Some coal for me in 2013.
Michael Cole. A whole
Michael Cole.
Package of Michael Cole for you.
Oh, God. But, JR, the ultimate nice. The ultimate nice.
The ultimate warrior.
The ultimate. The ultimate. And gets his ultimate win. The ultimate nice, JR, is, of course, Place to Be Nation. All of you. Because without you, we're not doing this. I can just talk to him on the phone about this.
Yeah, true.
But 279
episodes. I can hang up. It'll be a lot easier.
Yes. 279 episodes and still kicking. And it's because of all of you. And that's, again, that kind of goes back to the WrestleMania weekend. We had a lot of fun. We got to meet a lot of you. Got to meet Chad in person.
James Grunberg, baby.
James Grunberg, I'm going to WrestleMania. What was her name? Destiny, Misty, whatever. And of course, we got to meet our man Brad. Got to meet Brad Woodling that weekend. That was mm-hmm. a lot of fun. Of course, we've developed a great friendship with him. And I got to meet a lot of people that I never knew. Derek Cornette, I saw for the first time in person. And Mr. D'Amato. And a lot of people were very excited meeting Dr. G. That was a very fun moment as well. Greeny and Dr. G meeting. So that was a lot of fun.
The highlight of my weekend.
Yes, and that tailgate was awesome. The tailgate was awesome, and you guys keep listening, and we appreciate it. And the trivia we do, and the fun little contests, and
name baby Rotella contest.
Yes, it's been a great 2013, and you guys have done it again. So we thank Plates to Be Nation. You get a big, big happy picture of Derek LaRue in your stocking. Oh wait, no, that's the naughty one. Never mind. Oh, James Grunberg Christmas card. In
yes, talking. Yes. And a lap dance.
Yes.
All right. So, Scott, I guess it's maybe about time to wrap things up. But we do have one last little treat here.
Oh, we do?
We have a little ditty, a little song.
We do.
Put together. Each and every year we try and up the ante.
Mm-hmm.
So here is, making its world premiere debut, the 12 Days of Place to Be Nation.
Thank you.
On the first day of Christmas, Place to Be Nation gave to me...
Shut up! You're fucking fired!
On the second day of Christmas, Place to Be Nation gave to me...
2 vodka shark balls.
And shut up! You're fucking fired!
On the third day of Christmas, Place to Be Nation gave to me...
3 Robin Thicke songs.
2 vodka shark balls.
And fuck you, Roteller! Get the limo!
On the fourth day of Christmas, Place to Be Nation gave to me...
4 dirty Mark Sanchez.
3 Robin Thicke songs.
2 Caribbean cruises.
And fuck you, Roteller! Get the limo!
On the fifth day of Christmas, Place to Be Nation gave to me...
5 golden rings of honor.
4 dirty Mark.
3 Robin Thicke songs.
2 Caribbean cruises.
And fuck you, Roteller! Get the limo!
On the sixth day of Christmas, Place to Be Nation gave to me...
6 Prince Devitt wrestling buddies.
5 golden rings of honor.
4 dirty Mark.
3 episodes of Growing Pains.
2 Caribbean cruises.
And fuck you, Roteller! Get the limo!
On the seventh day of Christmas, Place to Be Nation gave to me...
7,000 words.
6 Devitt wrestling buddy.
5 golden rings of honor.
4 dirty Mark.
3 episodes of Growing Pains.
2 Caribbean cruises.
And I hate this motherfucking song!
On the eighth day of Christmas, Place to Be Nation gave to me...
8 DVDs at Amazon.
7,000 words.
6 Devitt wrestling buddy.
5 golden rings of honor.
4 dirty Mark.
3 episodes of Growing Pains.
2 Caribbean cruises.
And I hate this motherfucking song!
On the ninth day of Christmas, Place to Be Nation gave to me... 9 problems. But Richer ain't one.
8 copies of Grant Cawthon's books at Amazon.
7,000 words.
6 Devitt wrestling buddy.
5 golden rings of honor.
4 dirty Mark.
3 Growing Pains.
2 Caribbean cruises.
And I hate this motherfucking song!
On the 10th day of Christmas, Place to Be Nation gave to me...
10 calls to customer service.
9 problems. But Richer ain't one.
8 of your favorite Vintage Vault WWE DVDs at Amazon.
7,000 words.
6 autographed copies of a Backstreet Boys CD.
5 golden rings of honor.
4 dirty Mark.
3 Growing Pains.
2 Caribbean cruises.
And Chris Gall, oh, you're a stupid piece of shit!
On the 11th day of Christmas, Place to Be Nation gave to me...
11 great bumps recorded by me, Derek Lowe.
11 Andre Warrior matches.
10 calls to customer service.
9 problems. But Richer ain't one.
8 copies of the WWE Encyclopedia at Amazon.
7,000 words.
6 Backstreet Boys.
5 golden rings of honor.
4 dirty Mark.
3 Growing Pains.
2 Grey Geese.
And Chris Gall, oh, you're a stupid piece of shit!
On the 12th day of Christmas, Place to Be Nation gave to me...
12 Vestal Virgins in my queen-size beds.
11 Andre Warrior matches.
10 calls to customer service.
9 problems. But Richer ain't one.
8 awesome items at Amazon through our Amazon.com link only at PlaceToBeNation.com. Go to PlaceToBeNation.com, check out the right side on every article you look at. You're going to see that box right there. You enjoy the podcast, you enjoy the great articles you read on a daily basis, be sure to click on that link, do a little Christmas shopping, a little birthday shopping, whatever works for you.
7,000 words.
6 Backstreet Boys.
5 golden rings of honor.
4 dirty Mark.
Show me that smile again. Don't waste another minute on your crying. We're nowhere near the end. The best is ready to begin.
2 Grey Geese.
And a what? What's that, Rotella? This song's never gonna end. I can't stand it. Get Claire over here. We gotta get the karaoke machine. Then maybe it'll be pretty good.
Wow. If there wasn't a collage of personalities in the span of 4 minutes, that's certainly it. Wow. That is an epic epic holiday piece, JR.
Yeah, well, thank everyone who collaborated, taking a few moments to do that. It was not easy, but we made it work. Nope. You know, some of the guys were a little tough to work with, like Andrew Reich. No, the rest did a great job. Kevin Kelly, I want to thank him for being a good sport and partaking in there as well. Mm-hmm. And that about does it for the 12 PTB days of Christmas, Scott.
It was December 24th on Hollis Ave at the dark. My man Santa seen a Revan, gave the strangers from off. He said that giving was his living and I had to take part. So I grabbed a bag of goodies and hopped up on his car. I laced the pockets of the poor and gave the hoodie a play. Dropped some dollars up on Hollis and I went on my way. I hear you jingle, Mr. Kringle, peep the single, my man. So Santa hit a brother off and come as quick as you can.
Well, Scott, I hope you enjoyed that little song there, and I hope you enjoyed our... We had a lot of guests tonight. We had El Giante in the house. We had Ghost of Christmas Past and Matt Rotella. We talked about Christmas mm-hmm. morning memories. We talked yep. about wrestling memories. We talked Naughty or Nice. We gave some gifts yes. out. Did yep. some depressing Christmas music. The 12 days, like I said. So, all in all, another great Christmas episode.
Yes.
As we wrap up, we're going to put a bow on this year next week. No shows the rest of this week, but next week... We have Monday night. You and I will be drafting our pay-per-views or building pay-per-views like we did before. We did January and February. This time we're going to do March and April,
mm-hmm.
which is going to be interesting. So we got WrestleMania for March and then the Backlash shows for April.
Mm-hmm.
And then Thursday night, we have yet another PTB Nation Summit.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have two of our friends back, and that is Will H. from ProWrestlingWilly.com
yep.
and Scott Keith back in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be talking... 1994 WCW.
Yes, we're
gonna
look forward to that.
We're going to talk about those shows, Super Brawl, Spring Stampede, and Slamboree, and then Hogan's arrival and how that affected the company into Bash at the Beach and Halloween Havoc and Fall Brawl.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to watch some of those shows and the build-up here, where we're taking some notes, and we're going to chat about those with Will and Scott. So that should be a lot of fun.
Yes, no, I've been looking forward to that. The guys were awesome last summit. Looking forward to kind of piqued everybody's wet everyone's appetite for WCW in 94. So it's going to be a good time. Looking forward to it.
And that'll be it for next week as well, and that'll take us right into the new year. That'll be the first show of 2014. So with that said, Scott, why don't we go ahead and wrap things up? Now, we had a visit from the Ghost of Christmas Past, that creepy fuck Rotella.
Yes.
No visit from the president. So okay, well, are we just the president, I guess?
I think we're the Ghost of Christmas. Yeah, we're pretty much the Ghost of Christmas.
You're my president. You're my
Thanks.
Christmas president. And I think we're lucky, man. There's no ghost. So if there's no Ghost of Christmas Future, I guess that means we're just going to go on forever. The show never ends. That's
I anticipated that anyway. Welcome to episode 1947 of the Place.
Scott's going to wheel into his apartment.
That's right.
Still sitting in the same spot.
Going to have Vince's still watching, electronic wheelchair.
Still watching the Undertaker Tombstone DVD.
Yes.
As we record.
Yes.
So,
it's not over yet. Christmas isn't over yet. It's the Ghost of Christmas Future, and I bear ominous news for you, PZIC. I took Jeff Machado's show, and I'll be taking yours in 2014.
2014? That seems awfully close. All right. We're out of here, Shivani.
Full of fear, looked at his dog, oh my god, a ill reindeer. But then I was really good.
trees. Decorate the house with lights at night. Snow's on the ground, snow white so bright.